In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good afternoon to all of you. It's great to be with all of you. Make sure that, can you all hear me in the back? Can you hear me? Okay. Otherwise, it'd be like the beginning of the Mass in one church. The priest was fumbling with the microphone, and he said, there's something wrong with the mic, and the people said, and also with you. It's called original sin, huh? Once heard a story of Saint Peter was taking a walk with Jesus in the gardens of heaven. Not Hawaiian gardens, but the gardens of heaven. And Peter was given the keys to allow people to come in or to close the door. So as they're walking about 50 yards, they bumped into a person that did not seem a likely candidate for heaven. And Jesus said, Peter, why'd you let that guy in? He said, I never saw the guy. So Jesus said, be careful. Be careful. So they're walking another 50 yards and they bump into a guy that's even worse. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, what the heck is happening to you? I gave you the keys and you're being negligent. I have to get them to Andrew, your brother, maybe. Why'd you let that guy in? Peter said, I never saw the guy. So they're taking a walk for another 100 yards. And they bump into a guy that's worse than the first two. And Jesus comes and says, Peter, come here. He said, wait, Lord. Every time I close the door, your mother opens up the window. Mary's going to open up the window for us, right?
Yes.
That's why we're here. Asking Mary, open up the window. So, this is the first time I've ever given a course on this book because it just released a few weeks ago. So, I'm really enthusiastic about it. And so let's go through some basic ideas and then we can break up into groups. And in the groups, we'd like you to respond to the facilitator. One of the questions will be this. Who is Mary for you? Okay, I was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I think, well, sharing groups, we don't really have anything to say. We got a lot to say. And if I were in your group, we'd be leaving probably about 12 midnight because I got a lot to say on that. Who is Mary for you? So there are a lot of Marian titles. There's a lot of Marian titles, as well as all of you have different titles too. For example, I could say that Nancy is a mother, right? She's also a spouse. She's also a Christian. She's a teacher. Okay? She's a lover of Mary. She's a lover of the spiritual exercises. Okay? I'll talk about Mary. Rather than coming and talk about Nancy, so I've given about 6 different attributes of the same person. But what I've just done with respect to one of the members here, about Mary we can say that also. But of course to a higher degree, because Mary is the masterpiece of creation, as St. Louis de Mont points out. So in your group, with your group facilitator, that will be one of the questions. Who is Mary for you? Now in my book, if you have nothing to say, you can cheat a little bit, but you probably shouldn't. Because the very back of the book, you have the Litany of Loretto, which of all the litanies of Mary, it's probably the most famous. Maybe some of you have been in northern Italy actually visiting the Holy House of Loretto, as I have, okay? The Litany of Loretto has probably got 70 different titles of Mary. And each one is beautiful. They're titles which are, they're biblical, mystical, and poetic. Okay? Biblical, but they're mystical and they're also poetic. I like literature, I like poetry, I like to preach through images and stories. One of the images I give Mary that I've created is, it's been many years, but when we studied physics back in Joyce, I mean, we studied many things. One was the process of refraction. What is refraction? You take like a diamond, then you expose that to the sunlight, what's going to happen is you're going to have a rainbow of colors. These beautiful colors. So Mary is like a beautiful diamond. And the refraction is you're all going to see a different beauty in Mary. And you're going to be sharing that beauty with others. So by the time this course is over, we're going to get to know Mary. We're really going to love Mary. And for some of you who are maybe tainted by Protestantism, maybe some of you are, maybe there's some Jehovah's Witnesses here that still have some problems with what I'm saying, I'll say it now. Mary never blocks us from Christ. Mary is not a barrier, she's a bridge. You hear me? Mary's never a barrier, but she's a bridge. Mary never blocks, but facilitates. You speak Spanish, va suavizando. Okay? She rise, helps us to arrive at Christ. Okay, so what I like to start off with, I like to tell you the whole origin and the evolution of this book. I think it's interesting that you know that. No? When I was a child, I had three goals in my life. Ever since I was 8 or 9 years old, I had three goals. The other day at the table, we're asking the priest, when did they think about becoming a priest? And one of our members said when he was 10. Another one said he was 9. And I said when I was 8. Okay. So we had the vocational seed when we were very small. But I had three ideas. I wanted to do three things. In this order. First thing I wanted to do is I wanted to replace Mickey Mantle in center field in New York. I know I shouldn't say this here in L.A. We're both grieving over the postseason games, right? So I wanted to replace one of the big Yankees, no? Second is I always wanted to be a writer. And third, I wanted to become a priest. So at least I played the first year of baseball at Villanova. I didn't make it to the Yankees, but I played on the college level a little bit the first year. So I know quite a bit about the sport. Second is that I'm a priest for 36 years. And third is that I'm a writer. So this is my fourth book. My first book, by the way, if you like, you can buy all of my books and give them as a gift. It wouldn't be a sin. It would be an act of virtue. Giving gifts to others, especially good literary books, is an act of holiness. So my first book, I've got two different editors. And both of them are pretty prominent. One is Sophia Press, who's the president, is Charlie McKinney, who me and my family know pretty well. And the second would be Tan Publishers, which is probably the most famous Catholic publishing company in the world, probably. And I feel honored that Tan actually took my work, no? So the first two were Sophia Press. And I'll tell you the origin of it. Many years ago, on my free time, we all have different ways in which we like to relax. I like to relax by sports, but also I relax by writing. Now, if you have any professional writers here, there are two different styles. There's an intellectual style. We have a pile of books and you're consulting the sources. I've never done it that way. Then there's the poetic source. My spiritual director was actually a professional poet from Villanova. That he lived with his mother because his father died. And when he died, I told him, why don't you become a priest? He was ordained in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia at 72 upon my suggestion. How about that? His name, Dr. Joseph Rhino, who's passed away. But he said a poet will often get an idea. It's like an illumination, and then the ideas flow from it. That's my style. So I'll get an idea, the concept, and once I start to write, it flows and flows and flows. That's my literary style. Very different than Father Tim Gallagher, I'm sure. He probably has 20 different books from Aristotle to Hemingway to John of the Cross. No? My style is more, even though I don't write poetry, I don't have that gift. I write prose. I did write one poem. Can I quote it for you? It's short. Can I? Yeah. This was before my conversion when I was 10 years old. But it's just one couplet. Are you listening? Green is the grass on the ground. Green is the money I have found. That was pre-conversion when I was 10 years old in New York. Huh? So, what happened is that just in my free time, I would just go on the computer and just write out an article. And my younger brother, who knows the president of Sophia Press, Charlie McKinney, said, you know, my brother's writing these blog articles, you know, why don't you think about publishing one? So they have one of the most famous Catholic websites. It's called Catholic Exchange. Probably you've heard of it. That's affiliated with Sophia Press. So Sophia Press has Catholic Exchange as one of the websites. So he spoke with Charlie McKinney. So about 13 years ago, my first article was published on Catholic Exchange, a blog article. You know what a blog is, right, most of you? And always trying to keep the blog. If you're a writer, you'll know what I'm saying. 1,500 words. That sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. Sometimes you hit 2,000. So about 2,000 words are going to be 4 pages. That if you're an average reader, you can read it in maybe 12 minutes. If you're a slow reader, a half hour. You're a quick reader, read it in 7.5 minutes. No? So I was writing a blog article, and they're publishing them once a month and once a week. So they had the idea, well, these are good blog articles. Why don't we cut and paste? Cut and paste. So they cut 24 of these blog articles. This was a good 10 years ago. And they formatted it, and they pasted it, and it became a chapter in my first book. Interesting. So I didn't have that intention to write the book. See how divine providence works. So if you have a blog article of a 2,000 pages, 2,000 words, that's a 4-page chapter. You got the 4-page chapter. Thing is, with a lot of people, if you see huge books, they get turned off. But short chapters, and my style is more like Hemingway, more than Faulkner, kind of pithy sentences and to the point. So that was the first book. Then the second book I wrote was, I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary, and I wanted to get people to consecrate themselves to Mary. That was my intention. Because as an oblate of the Virgin Mary, our charism is to give the spiritual exercises, and we get a lot of people have come from Pomona who have done the exercises with me. Is a lot of young people from Cal State Pomona, and they've come here to be with us after 10 weeks. Is we as oblates have to be faithful to our charism. Do you know what charism means? It's the specific physiognomy or characteristic that defines who we are. And our charism is give the spiritual exercises. So I gave the last talk in Pomona. I've got another one in Paramount. And if you do the exercises well, it works, right? Right? It works. And also it's my charism. If I give them well, it works. It works. But also part of our charism is the Marian charism. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. You know what that means? Oblate means, it's a biblical word, oblation. which is a total offering of oneself to Jesus through Mary. So if myself, Father, I'm given the exercise as well, and I'm promoting Marian devotion, and I'm trying to stay close to God, it's going to work. It's going to touch a lot of souls, because there's a lot of power also in the priesthood. If we live our priesthood, my friends, it's powerful. And I'm aware of it. I humbly admit, I'm aware the priesthood is very powerful. But we have to tap into that sacrament and live it to the fullest. Okay, so the next book. And these books, basically, they flow out of who I am. Most of you probably have consecrated yourself to Mary. Right? Okay. Consecration to Mary. I did my first consecration to Mary with my mother in New Hampshire. 1976, I was on vacation after the second year at the university. 1976. And my consecration was through St. Louis de Montfort. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
After that, I want to become a priest. So I attribute Mary and that consecration that I wanted to be a priest already as a little kid. Once I did that, it became much more certain. So I attribute so much to the Blessed Mother in my life. Now I've made a decision. I'm going to try to promote Marian devotion as much as I can until I die. That's my firm commitment. You know what? If I can put you in the hands of heart of Mary, you're going to make it to heaven. That's principle and foundation. Amen?
Amen.
If I can get you into the heart of Mary, you're going to bring your children too. Even though they might be rebellious. You'll bring them too. So in writing this consecration to Mary, you've got a lot. Some of you studied theology. Some of you have studied some of John Paul II. I've read almost all of his encyclicals. Got to go read them again, no? But JP2, you've got the consecration through St. Louis de Montfort. You've got Kolbe, Maximilian Kolbe, the Immaculata. You've got a young man I was his spiritual director. His name is Mike Gately. I was actually his spiritual director, no? Making sure they get rid of the girlfriend, become a priest, okay? And he sent him to Steubenville, and he was with us for about 6 years as an oblate. Then he decided to become a Marian Immaculate Conception there in Stockbridge. So his came out, the 33 Days to Morning Glory, which is really well done. Which what he does is he takes 5 of the chief Marian saints, starting with St. Louis de Montfort, and then Kolbe, John Paul II, and Mother Teresa. And he gives their writings so that they can help the person to consecrate themselves to Mary, which is really genius. But then I thought, well, let me do something a little bit different. And this would happen. I was reading one of John Paul II's documents. And of all of his writings, it's probably my favorite. I mean, he's written a lot. But the year 2002, John Paul II wrote an apostolic letter. Okay, an apostolic letter, and it's called The Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. And I read that, and I was captivated. In which he introduced the luminous mysteries of the Rosary. And the phrase that hit me most in this apostolic letter, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. But first, read my book, okay? Maybe read both at the same time. Okay? Is there's one phrase in the Bible which motivated me to write my book of consecration to Mary, and it was, we're all called to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Wow. Wow. Think about that. To contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Isn't that beautiful? So I thought, what's the best way to do that? Through the mysteries of the rosary. Yeah, got the idea. Got the blueprint. The blueprint's upstairs. And then I started to write the joyful mysteries, explaining the joyful mysteries, the luminous mysteries, explaining the luminous mysteries, then the sorrowful, then the glorious. And I thought, well, I think it's a good idea to write a final chapter on the seven sorrows of Mary. So there you have the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, the glorious, the seven sorrows of Mary. As a means by which we can consecrate ourselves to Mary. And I'm not going to say mine's the best. I'm not going to say that. But it is unique. It is unique in the sense that it's, of all the consecration to Mary, by far it's the most biblical. Because the mysteries of the rosary are biblical. The seven sorrows of Mary, most of them are biblical. So that book came out. That book came out the year 2017. May 13th, which was the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. That's when it was issued. Perfect timing. Nothing happens by chance. Now, many, many people, have any of you done the consecration with my book? Was it helpful?
Yes.
Okay. So there's the second. And the third, which is very Ignatian. For probably a good 30 years, even going back to Argentina, remember in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, I gave a plan of life. One of the nuns that was there in the retreat said, Father Broom, your plan of life is a spiritual, mystical masterpiece. This was 30 years ago. So I had in my mind, this thing works. So why not take the plan of life and develop it into a book? And many of you have it now. 10 publishers a couple months ago was selling it for $5. So we bought about 300 copies, and there in Pomona, I gave it to the retreats in Pomona, right? You have it, right? Hopefully you're not using it at a doorstop, but you're actually reading it. Or a coaster for your mug of coffee. No, you read it. Yeah. But people that have read it, If you read it, it's very challenging. But if you read that, if you have a tendency to be lazy or disordered, that's a remedy. That is a remedy to the Ignatian principle to order the disordered. Okay? We all have disorders in our life. If you read it, not simply whimsically or just to pass your time, but you read it with the intention of putting it into practice, then it works. But it's challenging. I have one of my confirmation students that I'm going to be given that as a Christmas present, okay? So get ready, Sarah, okay? Because it's divided into three different plans of life. How many of you have it? Okay, most of you have it. Okay, how is it divided? The chronological plan, what can you do every year, month, week, day, hour, down to the second. The second is allow your heartbeat saying, Jesus and Mary, I love you. Let your heart do that. God will accept your heartbeats to be saying, God, I love you. Why not? Your heart is saying, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you. Every heartbeat. So down to the second, all the way to the year. Second, your heartbeat, every year you make an eight-day Ignatian retreat. Okay? Then the second would be a professional retreat. Look at your life and see the areas that have to be improved. As mother, as spouse, in your permanent formation, in your prayer life, in your sacramental life, in your social network, in your apostolic life, in your permanent formation. If you go through those categories, you see areas that have to be improved. This would be a good time now that we're in Feast of Christ the King. And next Sunday, I'll be saying, Happy New Year. Because you've got the church New Year, and then you got the civil New Year. Then the last part, I wrote for the teenagers. And it is the plan of life in which I've written an acronym. I like acronyms. It's a good vehicle as a teacher and writer. The five M's of the spiritual life for the young people. So I'll give that to the confirmation students as a gift for Christmas. On their Christmas vacation, they'll read the whole book. Then they'll come back and say, Hey, Sarah, did you like that book? I didn't read it yet, Father. Well, so it's an all-inclusive plan of life for the adults as well as for the young people. By the way, I have written the spiritual exercise for teenagers, too. We could maybe do that if you like it, no? As well as a Marian consecration. The exercises, they're so beautiful because you adapt them according to the person, the cultural, the intellectual level, the spiritual level. All right. So we finally arrive at the new book. Do you like it? So let me tell you the origin and the content of this. About six years ago, I thought, I want to write something more on Mary. So we've got the Marian consecration book, okay, fine, but that you can, as Saint Bernard says, we can never say enough about Mary. We never exhaust our love and knowledge of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, this was the original idea. In the best time, if we have any writers here to write. Well, you have to have time, silence. You have to be well rested. I can't write in the afternoon because when you give me a good cup of coffee, a good holy hour in the morning, and then that pen is going to move. No? Yeah, that's when I'm most alert. So, on vacation, got a lot of free time. No masses, no confessions. They're in New Hampshire, they're a quiet state. So I said, okay, I'll start to write a book on Mary. But this is my idea. I will write a book on Marian devotions. That was my original idea. But it's very, very interesting how the book didn't end that way. And by providence and by a lot of suffering, It took five years to get this printed. The other ones were done within a year, but it took 5 years. And Saint Ignatius says, if it comes from God, there has to be the cross. That's Saint Ignatius. Did you notice? I started giving this talk, couldn't get either one of these microphones to work, no? I knew something like that was going to happen. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to yell out. I'll get laryngitis. I won't be able to speak for a week. No, okay. But my initial idea were Marian devotions. Now, if I say Marian devotions, maybe many of you don't really, well, what does that mean? Okay, a Marian devotion would be, for example, any Filipinos here? All right, Marian devotion. In the Philippines, I think it depends upon the province, they pray the Angelus. I always thought it was at 12 noon. Someone said it's 6 p.m. Does it depend upon the province? Okay, 6 p.m. Well, I suggest three times a day. No, that's Father Broom's Marian devotion. One upmanship than the Filipinos, huh? But radio, TV, law offices, school buildings, everything stops. Probably no longer, but at least in the past they used to do that. At 6 o'clock, radio, TV, law offices, malls. I mean, that's huge. I love that idea. Let's tell Macy's and Nordstrom's and Wall Street, colleges, okay? What do you think? You think it'll work? You'll be fired, right? But I love that idea. Because that's a Marian devotion. I personally, the 6 o'clock is fine, but 12 noon is even better because you're dividing the 2 days in two parts. You've got the first 12 hours, then you have the second 12 hours. It's blessing the first 12 hours, and it can be blessing the second 12 hours. Say, thank you, Father. You're welcome. No? So that's a Marian devotion, the Angelus. That's a Marian devotion. And there are many, many. You've got a lot in these chapters, but that's one of them. Okay, what might be another Marian devotion? The Alliance of the Two Hearts, which was founded in the Philippines, the Alliance of the Two Hearts, they have the devotion to go to homes and consecrate the homes to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, right? And the Sacred Heart. That's a devotion. Which is beautiful. Beautiful. And each country and culture has different Marian devotions. So if you go to Mexico or Guatemala, or maybe go to Korea or Vietnam, you're going to have different Marian devotions. And each one is beautiful according to the culture, according to the person. Some are universal and some are more local. Okay, can I tell you my favorite Marian devotion? Sure. You know what it is. Yeah, my favorite, I can't deny it. My favorite Marian is the rosary. I love the rosary. It's my favorite. It's a devotion. And I know that I will get into heaven through this. And I'll drag a lot of you in through this too. For a hook or crook, as they say, huh? Yeah. This is powerful. This is powerful. I had an extraordinary grace as a teenager, brought up and raised in New York and then in Bergen County, New Jersey, in Ridgewood. I would walk to high school 2 miles. Those were the days when the kids had books. Now they don't know what a book is, right? And I would pray three rosaries walking to school. How many teenagers pray three rosaries a day? And my thought was this. I had to walk 2 miles. It took 45 minutes. And I'd be walking with my guardian angel. Why not pray the rosary? And I see, what an extraordinary regret. A teenager walking and praying three rosaries, walking to school. And see, the Blessed Mother was always in the background in my life. I used to cut grass. I could cut grass and pray the rosary at the same time. We have a New York expression, you can't even walk and chew gum at the same time, no? Hey, Cheryl?
Yeah.
But you can if you have a little bit of coordination, you know, can walk and pray the rosary at the same time, right? Instead of thinking about dumb things, think about God. And think about Mary. The oblate emblem. You've heard of the oblates, right? Maria cogita, Maria invoca. You're going to see that in the book. That's the oblates. You never heard of it. Any oblate, you know, you say that right away, the oblate knows it. It's oblate vintage. No? Maria cogita, Maria invoca means invoke Mary. Cogita means think. To think about Mary, to invoke Mary. So my thought was, I have to write a book on Marian devotion. So I vacation, I was able to write sometimes two chapters in the morning. If I had like 3 to 4 hours, able to whip it off with a night, good night's sleep, my holy hour, and a good cup of coffee, okay? So I wrote the Marian devotions, and then what happened was this. I was introduced to 10 publishers by one of the teachers who teaches in the high school of my nephews and nieces in New Hampshire, which is the school that my dad built, basically, Mount Royal, which is one of the best Catholic schools in New Hampshire. My dad is basically the one that built it. No? So one of the teachers said, you know, my husband, you can meet him on vacation. You know where he works? He works at 10 publishers. And he'd like to talk to you and maybe he can publish some of your books. So moving outside of Sophia, 10. So he was helping me. He was helping me to write this book. One morning, his wife goes into his room and he's found dead in his bed. 52 years old. A shock. A shock. An Ignatian exercise. No? Holy man, great wife, a couple of sons that might become priests. But the Lord took him. Shock. Are any of you older than 52? I am. Maybe you aren't yet, but I passed that a long time ago. No? We don't know when God's going to call us. Come like a thief in the night, right? So what happened was, he was helping me to work on this. So he passed away. So they had to get another editor to help me to work on it. And how providence was. John Morehouse, I think a saint, and highly professional in his work in helping authors to publish their works. Passed it on to a younger man who helped me to get this published. But he had other ideas in the publication of the book. And I see how divine providence worked. He suggested certain things that I did not plan. He said, okay, Father Broome, you've got really good Marian devotion, but let's add to it. I said, what do you mean? Well, we want this not to simply be a Marian devotional. We want it to be a Marian compendium. There's a difference. Which incorporates, it's basically a book on Mariology. Where you've got not simply devotion, but all the different facets of who Mary is. So he said, okay, why don't you write a couple of chapters on Marian dogmas? Ah. Okay, more writing. And you know, the fact that he said that, it didn't really dawn on me, but I see how divine providence is. All right, I've got a team here and working a lot with Elvira and Mary and other people. Elvira has been working with me and Mary in consecration about 15 years, right? 14 years. And we visited many parishes in L.A., a couple in Orange County. And the people that I track, what we get like for 200, even here to 1,000, you know. A lot of people come. But maybe I'm naive in this point. Sure, I have a degree in theology and a pretty good formation even before studying theology. For me, I just thought all Catholics know the Marian dogmas. I know I was ingenious or naive, but because I've always known them, and it seemed to be a no-brainer. How are you going to love Mary? You don't know the Marian dogmas. But I would say in my visits, 99% of the people don't know them. Right, Elvira? So if we got 400 people there, maybe got six of them that I say they can name them and even explain them. So that means 99% of the people don't know the Marian dogmas. So my theological mind says, how can you really have a complete Mariology if you don't know her dogmas? So I see how providential this is. So the book has the four Marian dogmas. And they would be the Immaculate Conception, which is the patroness of our country, as well as the Philippines. Then we have, chronologically, we have the Divine Maternity of Mary, which is her greatest privilege. And we celebrate that on Christmas. Then we have what the Protestants deny, all of them. It's Mary's perpetual virginity. Mary was virgin before the birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, and after the birth of Christ. And then we have the last Marian dogma that was proclaimed by Pope Pius XII, that was the Pope when I was a little tyke. He proclaimed it in 1950, on November 1st, which is the feast day of All Saints. And that would be the Assumption of Mary into heaven. So we added that. So see how divine providence, devotion. Now we got doctrine. We got dogma. And probably most of you, not to offend anyone, probably most of you could not have said that clearly. But by the time we end this course, hopefully all of you will be able to say that clearly. All right, so that you understand, this is a integral Mariology. This is a complete Mariology. Mariology is a theology, a branch of theology, the study of Mary. A complete integral Mariology is like an Olive Garden salad. Analogy. You ever have an Olive Garden salad?
Yes.
Best in the world, huh? Really good. So you have the salad, then you have the condiments. What would happen if the server at Olive Garden brought you the salad without the condiments? You would complain to the supervisor, right? You have to have both. So the salad is the dogma, the condiment is the devotion. Amen? That's my analogy. Very tasty, huh? So, if you only have dogma, that can be arid. It can be arid, it can be dry. So the dogma is directed at the intellect. Whereas the devotion is directed at the heart, the sentiments. So we have to have the mind and the heart, and that's very Ignatian too, right? Very Ignatian, we have the working of the intellect and we're descending into the heart. Then you have Ignatian prayer. So there you have my analogy. If you remember the analogy of the olive garden, you remember, okay, you have to have a harmonious blend between the dogma and the devotion. All right. I thought it was a done deal. He said, no, I've got something else for you. Oh, boy. It's never going to be published. But he said, why don't you do this? He said, okay, Father Brome, why don't you write a few chapters on Marian apparitions? Approved. Okay, not Bayside and some of these spurious condemned, because some Bayside, New York, that's condemned. But the approved Marian apparitions, there's quite a few. But we chose to develop 3, I'd say even 4. So I explained, you're gonna have an explanation of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Amen?
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. And myself arriving here in California, I thought sitting down with any Mexican be able to go in graphic detail about Our Lady of Guadalupe, but it's not the case. I'll tell you a funny story. About 25 years ago, I had a visitor, and one of my apostolic works many years was I would do home-to-home visitation. And my biggest fear would be the pit bulls, because in Hawaiian Gardens you got a lot of cholas and pit bulls, no? So I would go with a missionary team, about 10 very holy and pious women. But I was brought up with New York, it's called etiquette. No? So I would always allow the women to go first in the house, and that was fun. You got to be un caballero, right? You got to be a gentleman. Right? No. Honestly, I would go first with fear and trembling, and still got my 2 legs and ankles that are still working. No? So I had a visitor that came to visit, and we're visiting a home, and to the beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And the woman was from Michoacan. I was born in Michigan, Michoacan. And the visitor, who only spoke English, asked the lady, do you know who that is? Oh, yeah, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Do you know the story? She was scratching her wig, or scratching her head. I think it was a woman. Yeah. By the way, do you know who the patron saint of the bald is? Yeah? Hedwig. Amen? St. Hedwig, yeah, that one kind of, that's a good one, right? Not Baldwin, but Hedwig. Okay. I like to play on words, huh? So the English-speaking woman was saying, you don't know it? She said, well, it's the Lady Guadalupe, and that's about all she could say. So the English-speaking woman was explaining, and I was translating. The English-speaking woman went on for about a half hour, all the graphic details, the 4 apparitions, the conversation, explaining to this lady from Michoacan. The woman that was explaining, I was translating, was my mother. Was my mother. So in the book, you have the 4 approved Marian apparitions. Our Lady Guadalupe. Then you have Our Lady of Lourdes. Then you have, well, actually three of them, Our Lady of Lourdes, and then Our Lady of Fatima. But then there's another chapter on, also, maybe you've heard of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, in which she appeared in 1830. I know the street, Rue de Bac, in the city of Paris, to Santa Catherine Labouré, who was a visitation nun who had the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you have those four approved Marian apparitions. Now, it wasn't finished. I didn't have this idea, but he said, why not at the end of the book add to it the patrimony and the heritage of the Marian prayers. So you've got about 5 pages of prayers to the Blessed Mother. The ones that you all know. The Hail Mary, the Memorare, the Hail Holy Queen. And you've got the oldest one would be the Subtum Presidium, is the oldest prayer to Mary in the Catholic Church. Then you've got the Litany of Loretto. Then you've got the consecration prayer to Mary, and many more. And then, if you have my other books, you don't have art. You have some sketches, but if you look through this book, one of the masterpieces is the artwork. You've got some of the most beautiful Marian paintings in the history of the church in this book. Right? Yes. Any of you seen it yet?
Yes.
I mean, they're just captivating. Now.
They give meaning to the word beauty.
Yes. Yes. Now, what happened was, how divine providence works. I was checking out Amazon. This was being promoted by Amazon about a year ago. But this was delayed because of the death of John Morehouse. Second would be the pandemic. Third would be the glossy pages had to be done in Europe. So if you feel the pages, it's very, it was done in Italy. So that delayed it also. Then the shipping afterward. But then divine providence kicked in also. I was leafing through some of the paintings, and some of them I didn't feel were up to the quality of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was Adam and Eve, in which there was a little bit of immodesty. I said, that's not me. So I had to say, I don't want that. And then there were some of the angels, that the way that they're not dressed on the Chris. So I had to get rid of a few of those. So after battling with that and working with Mary Martirana and with Elvira, kind of battling through it, they accepted the fact that I was discarding some of the artistic depictions that they thought was not. But now every one of those pictures is a masterpiece. Is a masterpiece. So that is the origin, the evolution of my book. What do you think? So I thought in this first class, I thought it's important that I tell you how I arrived at this book. And behind it, I think, is the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, if you give me just a few more minutes, I want to tell you what my goal is for these 5 weeks. It's like we're entering into a Marian retreat. together. And it's perfect timing because this is going to end right before Christmas. What an excellent preparation for Christmas. Advent is next week. And our friends from Pomona, they're finishing up the 10th week, and right away they're moving right into our new course. So I talked about perseverance yesterday, so this is your golden opportunity to persevere after. We have a lot of young students that have come from far away, so give them applause that they came to visit us. Our home is your home. As Father Stephen said yesterday in the Mass, this is your home. Whenever you want to come, this is your home. Okay? So feel welcome here. Okay, now, how is this going to be done? How is it going to be done? It's going to be basically the same style as the Ignatian exercises, but your material is going to be the book. Instead of the handouts that we gave you the past 10 weeks, you got the book. So in a certain sense, it's easier. So every day, you're going to be taking a chapter. There are 32 chapters. We've got 5 weeks. And you're going to be reading through the chapter. But you've heard Lectio Divina. I think almost all of you heard of Lectio Divina. It's a style of prayer in which you're going to be. Pope Benedict in his book and his document Verbum Domine, where he explains the Word of God, gives you the steps of Lectio Divina. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio. Okay? Shall I repeat that? Okay. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, okay, oratio, actio. Those are 5 Latin words, almost like Spanish, right? Lectio, read. Meditatio, meditate. Contemplatio, imagine you're with Mary. Oratio, pray, talk to Mary. Then, actio, put into practice. And Pope Francis says, go from mind to heart to feet, okay? Like the Blessed Mother, Annunciation, Visitation. Okay. This thought occurred to me over the past couple of days when I was praying. Why didn't you turn this, how many parents here got kids? Why didn't you turn this into a family activity in which you can, in the morning, you hear me? In the morning, you're reading it by yourself. You're doing your own reflection. Then, maybe before dinner, you can read the chapter with your family. Maybe dad can read it, then mom, then the older daughter, then the other daughter, and maybe change days. You can read through it. Then when you sit down to dinner, guess what your conversation is going to be about? What do you think? So, I want to get, my thought over the past couple of days was, let's get the whole family involved. If you read it quickly, most chapters are 4 pages. You can read it in 8 minutes. And you've heard me preach. The way I preach is the way I write. Everyone understands me. I think my preaching and teaching is simple, but there's depth in it all. So you're getting the truth. Okay, do it with your family. Or maybe you say, for example, you know, you're with your husband. Your children are already... You do it with your husband. Or maybe you're just alone with your mother-in-law. Do it with your mother-in-law. But I would really like to see if we can make this a family activity. What do you think? Good idea? Yeah. You know, some of you have, you know, 4 kids, 5 kids. Do it with all of them. Some of you have maybe an older mother that's present there. And I think we have to invite the older people to become more involved. I've written out a consecration program to the elderly, which I wrote 10 years ago, and we're still trying to launch it. Right, Mary? Father Larry says once that is launched, it's going to sell like hotcakes. Because the elderly, they're neglected in our society. So I've written out a consecration program of the elderly in which they can meditate but offer their suffering to God for the salvation of the world. The exercises, I've written out one for toddlers that are 4 years old. Yeah. So I go from 4 all the way to 98. The exercises, they lend themselves to adaptation. So that's it. I'm really happy that we got a full church. Now, if you want to invite someone next week, the door is open, okay? They can come, even though they've missed a week. But they can come next week. So there we have it. This is the protocol. Talk at 1:30. Mass at 12 if you want to come. Kill two birds with one stone. Okay. Talk here at 1:30. And then you'll break up into your groups. And you'll be talking about the chapters that you read. And Mary's already put together a different division because we've got 32 chapters. It's divided into a very clear way. So this first week, you'll have the first 7 chapters. So that's basically it. I'll pray for you that these will be the best 5 weeks of your life. Okay? That these will be the best 5 weeks in your life. So I'd like to say a Hail Mary. And then we have, I think Mary will talk a couple minutes to divide you into groups. And what you're going to be sharing is, who is Mary for you? Okay? Who's Mary for you? And each one of you are going to be saying something different. So you're going to be enriching others by responding to this question. So let's say the Hail Mary and pray that this will be a life-transforming experience. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you through the intercession of Mary and Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, just be seated for another 2 minutes.